indulge. My name is Maria. I'm an alcoholic.
I'm
sober by the grace of God. I told them all day today I forgot my story, but I guess it'll come back when it comes over. I think I'll start with my birthday. May 2nd was the last day that I ever drank. Now that day there was a broken door in my house. I hadn't broken that door, but I had started that drug. And there was a broken door with glass, and glass all over the floor. And, I was standing there by the door with the broken glass, and I was left alone with the door. And my daughter came home from high school. She was a junior in high school. She was 14. She walked in, looked at me, looked at the broken glass. She said, "Oh, no, not again." And I said, hey, God, I will do anything, not to live like this anymore. Because I saw this poor little kid's face, and she looked so defeated, so unhappy. and I knew that it couldn't happen again. And, you know, God pitied me. And, you know, and he knew that I really meant it. Because from that day to this, I've never had another drink. And I felt his grace. The anger I had left me, but I was left with a terrible, terrible loneliness. And it was the beginning of my sobriety, and I had never even gone to a meeting. And the next two days later, I went to my first meeting. And that was the way I got introduced to my program. Now I'll tell you a little more about me. I was the last child of an Irish Catholic family, and we had a lot of brothers and sisters, and we went to work pretty young, you know. My sisters were working, and it was my turn to go to work. Now, I liked school, but I also liked being a grown-up, so that was okay. So I went to work with my sisters, and it was okay, you know. I was going to do what I had to do, because it was the way we were brought up. And then, you know, after I was working about 5 or 6 weeks, my mother says to my father, "I don't know what happened to Marie, but she's got an attitude." And he said, "I don't know what it is, but she's talking back to me." And he said, "Well, let me talk to her tonight when I come home from work." So when he came home from work, he said, "What's the matter, Marie? I hear you're having trouble with your mother." I said, "No." He said, "That isn't the way I heard it. She doesn't like the way you're sounding, and we're not happy with it." And he said, "You don't like the way things are running in this house. You know, maybe we can make some changes." And I thought, gee, he's pretty fresh, you know. So he said, "If you don't like it here, would you like to live someplace else?" And I said, "He knows I'm much too young to live alone." And he said, "Well," he said, "we'll see what we're going to do." He said, "But," he said, "you can't act that way with your mother." So I said, "He's putting me in my place, and he's telling me off." But I said, "I'm going to better do what he has to tell me." So I said, okay. So from that day, I wasn't going to talk back to my mother. But the next morning, I was thinking about what he did, what he told me. And I said, "You know, he put me in my place, and he told me off. And, you know, that's a good thing to know how to do. He did it without raising his voice, in the same voice." And he did. And I said, "That's a good thing to learn. I must learn how to do that. I might need that some days." I guess I was a little bit queer in those days, too, you know. So I went to work with my sisters, and that was okay. And we went out in the evening. There was dancing, there was music, and there was also drinking. And, you know, I had my first highball. Hey, I was grown up now, you know. I was 16, it's pretty old, you know. So, you know, I thought it was great. And it was no big deal. I didn't know why people made such a big deal about a highball. It never made me sick. I never got sick with alcohol anyways. Even all the years I drank, I had a cast iron stomach, I think. And, you know, but I said, it's not so important. But, you know, before the evening was over, I had my second one. And that wasn't the end of the world either. And, you know, then time went on. We did that over and over again. And I learned to drink. I learned to smoke. And smoking was great. I loved that, you know. I loved to have a cigarette in my fingers and have a guy across the room come running over and light my cigarette. That was nice. Yeah. You know? They did that in the movies like that, and I loved that, you know. But the drinking was just something to do, that's all. So I got used to drinking along with the rest of the people. I got, my quota was 3 highballs one night, you know. I never got sick. I had it, and that, you know, all through the years, I never got sick to my stomach. I never could understand these people that throw up when they can't drink. I wish they'd leave it alone, you know. But I never did, you know. But I got sick in other ways, too, you know. So time went on, and I, you know, as I got a little older, when I got to be 20 years old, I graduated to nightclubs. Now, that was much better. That was nicer atmosphere. The music was much better. I was a good dancer by then, and I loved, I knew all the music, I knew all the dances, and I loved the atmosphere, and that was fun, you know. So I went along with that, and I also learned all the names of drinks. That was pretty good, you know. I found out that a rum coke is not a rum coke, it's a Cuba Libre. And I thought, boy, I'm pretty smart, you know. You know, that's the way it was going then. And so then, you know, I met the man that I was to marry. And he was an Irish Catholic, too. Most of everybody knew was Irish Catholics, you know. So, you know, we got very friendly, and we fell in love. And then we got married. And it was just the beginning of the war, the Second World War, you know. So he immediately went to work for defense. And he worked 3 years on nights, you know. And while he did that, I acquired my son. I had my first child. But I never wanted to drink alone. I never even cared for it. I didn't even think about it. It wasn't that important yet. You know, so then after that, when the war was over, he had one full year of working on days. And that was good. By then, I had a daughter. We had a son and a daughter, you know. Typical American family, you know. And everything was good. But then he got sick. Then we moved in with my mother. And he got sick for quite a while. And I'm not going to go into that, but after 3 years later, he passed away. He was a very young man. And I was left with 2 kids, you know. I was very young to be in charge of 2 kids. I wasn't much more mature than they were. But, you know, there it was, you know. And, you know, some people, when they have a lot of problems, they take tranquilizers. I used alcohol because I was angry and I was scared. And I did that, you know, I had to. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. My mother let me do that for a couple of weeks, and then she said to me, "Marie, you're not going to sit around the house and drink like that. You're not going to do that." She said, "You know, you're too young for that, and life goes on." She said, you've got 2 kids, and you've got to know that you can't run away from what you've got to do. She said, "I want you to get out and get a job with people your own age, and I'll take care of the kids and send the boy to school." And this way, she said, you'll be able to handle your life better. So she did, and I did. And she nearly always was right, you know. So that worked out. But, you know, so I got a job, and I would take care of the kids at night. I would always have a couple of highballs at night, and I looked forward to it. By then, I really needed it. I really looked forward to it. I really enjoyed it. It's funny how you can watch, see the drinking change little by little, the patterns, you know. So, you know, then my boy was 7 years old, and my daughter was 4, and he was, that year, he made his first communion. And he was lonely, you know. He had met a friend where we lived, a grown person, really took a liking to him. And he got very friendly with my son, and my son was always quoting him at home, you know. So one day, I get a telephone call in the evening after I put the kids to bed. And, you know, he said, "This is Walt's friend." I was surprised. I was glad to hear from him. We talked about Walt. Then he asked me for a date, so we made a date for the following week. And, you know, then the following week was a Saturday. And then Saturday morning, some kid came over to that I worked with. And he had been drinking, you see, but he wouldn't have come if he hadn't been. So, you know, my mother said, "You wouldn't go out with him, he's drinking." And I said, "Oh my, he's our office boy, he's just a kid, you know." So then, you know, Lee came over that night. Now, Lee was a good-looking man, well-dressed, soft-spoken, good manners, and utterly charming, you know. And my mother liked him right away. The kid just loved him. And so, you know, we got friendly. And then he liked the kids, so we started taking the kids out to the park and swimming and everything. That was good for the boy. And we built a relationship. And, you know, then my mother would take care of him while we went out together in the morning, you know. I knew he drank, and he knew I drank, and we thought we did it pretty well. We were a little different than other people, and we needed our drinking. He was a veteran, and he had a good job, new car, money. Everything was working fine for him. I remember the first date that he came, my mother said, you know, and she said, now see the difference between a man that doesn't drink and one that does? And I found out that Lee had a half a fifth of scotch in the afternoon. So those days he handled his booze pretty well, you know? And you've got a Kleenex there? No, huh? No. I haven't got my pocketbook here, huh?
Keep going. You'll find your one.
So, we started going out together. Thank you. And we became good friends. And that was good. Before we knew it, we got serious. We planned on getting married. And, you know, we did. We got married. I got pregnant right away for my daughter. And now he became father of three kids. And, you know, he said he's the only man he knew that became the father of three kids in less than a year. And he said, I'm not even 30 yet. So he was 29, you know. We were both pretty young, you know. But life went on. Now, he knew I drank, and I knew he drank, and that we certainly had no idea of changing our pattern. But we did well with the kids. And it was a lot of adjusting, though. He loved kids, but he had never lived with them. And, you know, he had to get rid of three kids. That was a lot, you know. So we lived for the first 5 years. We had a lot of adjusting, like good times and bad times. We did it. At the end of 5 years, and I said, you know, Lee, I don't think we can do this much longer. And he said, yes, we can. We're going to buy a house. We're going to do a better job. We're going to get room for the kids and a yard and everything, and we can do it. So we went to Bristol. We bought a house. And, you know, he was working at Hartford. But a cute, nice little house, nice neighborhood. And, you know, the day that I moved in, I said, God, I've got everything I ever wanted. I've got my house. I've got what I want for my kids. And I said, I've got good schools and the church of my choice and a yard and everything. But I said, wife, I got this awful feeling in my stomach. And I feel so empty and so lonely. And I didn't know what it was. I believe it was God telling me it was a disease of alcoholism, but I didn't know it. So then we did much better for a while because we had more room. The kids got adjusted to school. And, you know, that we tried. But we were getting some arguing, me and I. And I didn't know why, but we were. And I think we both could use a little counseling. We didn't know it. But after a couple of drinks, we'd start arguing. And we'd be awfully sorry afterwards. We'd try the next day to say we weren't going to do it again, but we would. And different things was happening in the family. We tried very hard not to let the kids, you know, our drinking was our business. And the kids never interfered with it. I was a little strict with the kids. They were awfully good kids. And so, you know, things were going along, you know. But the different things was happening that I didn't like. Remember one day my middle child was in the seventh grade. And she said, may I bring my girlfriend home to sleep tonight? And I said, yes, you may. I knew what you said, and be careful for the drinking. And I said to myself, oh, Kathy, I wouldn't embarrass you and your friends. You know that. And so they went to the school dance. And she said, you know, when she came home, she said to her girlfriend's mother, if there's no company overnight, she could stay over. She wasn't even quite sure of me. So she came in. She looked at me. She said, my, you promised. And I had promised. And she knew she could see the effects of the drinking. And I said to her, I'm so sorry. I said, I can't help what your father does. She said, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about you. You broke your word. And I had meant to keep it. And I had broken my word. And I didn't know why. I was so sorry. But it was done. And I was doing many things were happening like that. I was trying very careful not to let them happen. They were happening again, you know. One day we were sitting around the kitchen table, and something went wrong, and I said, you can't please this darn family. There's always something wrong here. My son was 16 then, and he popped up and he said, "There's nothing wrong with this family. We're damn nice people. We're a good family. Just too much booze in this house." Now he'd been said. And Lee looked at me and I looked at Lee, and neither one of us said a word. And we just went on eating our dinner. And we said, "What?" And I said, "My kids are going to be ashamed of me." And he didn't know what to do with it. Then after that, it was Christmas time. Now I tried very hard to have the best Christmas. We had quite a few Christmases together that had been good. But this one was a disaster. Everything was wrong. At the end of it, everybody was unhappy. And I was so unhappy at the end of the time. And I said at the end, you know, Christmas time, it was 2 weeks before the Lent started. And I said to Lee, "What do you say we give up drinking for Lent?" Now, we had never done that. And Lee said, "Yes." And I was so glad. We didn't say it to the kids. We just didn't drink. And that led to 6 weeks. And you know, it was like a cloud. It was lifted from the house. Everybody was so happy. With family prayers and games and different meals and everything. And it was just so good, you know. And even Lee and I, we were so nice to each other, almost the way we had been when we first got married. And that went on, you know. Led for 6 weeks. And 4 weeks later, I went to the library to get a book. And, you know, I found this book, I'll Cry Tomorrow. And I thought, isn't that a strange title? And I brought it home. And it was right that I do that, you know? And then, you know, I brought it home, and it was a life story of Lillian Roth. Now, she was an admitted alcoholic. Now, she had told her life story. And, you know, her personality was just like mine. And I couldn't get over it, you know? And so I said to her, and so... She decided, you know, then after that she got very sick, hit a bottom. She was sent to a dry gown place. She went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and she fell in love with the program. She had a spiritual experience, and she loved the program. She got sober, and I thought, what a wonderful way to live if one were alcoholic. But I'm not one of those. Because I said, I made a promise and I'm keeping it, you know. And they said, "But oh, what a nice way to live, you know." But not me. And, you know, it was back and forth, you know. I had 2 more weeks of Lent. And, you know, it was going back and forth in my mind. But I kept saying, "But I don't have a problem. I did what I set out to do. I kept my word. And I won't drink till the end of the Lent." And I said, "It's not me, you know." So the next 2 weeks went by. The Holy Week went by, and I knew I was going to drink when it was over. And Good Friday came, and I knew the next day was going to be, the Lent was going to be over. And so, you know, then on Saturday morning, Lee was working, he came home from work, and I knew Lent was over at noontime. And I said, "Lee, would you care to drink?" And he said, "Would you like the highball?" And he said, "Yep." So he went out and he bought the mixes, and so, you know, we started drinking, the two of us together. Children didn't know what we were doing. You know, they were confused. And, you know, we started drinking. And now it's time we were back arguing as much as we ever had before. I hated him. I hated myself. I hated the whole world, you know. My personality just changed right away. And I didn't know why, you know. So, you know, it just happened that way. And you know, then after that, I forget my story. You know, after that, you know, we kept on drinking. We drank all that evening, all that night, and all the next day. Now, hot lunch and crunch in the morning, which is Easter Sunday. We weren't even capable of taking the kids to church. They were disgusted. The two girls, my little girl took the little one with her, my boy went off, and they were gone, and we kept right on drinking. And I was to keep on drinking for the next 6 weeks until May 2nd. Heavier than I ever done before. Every day, and I had never drank before, and every day. And on May 2nd morning, I got up, and there was a broken door in my house. And, you know, the door, I hadn't broken that door, but I had started that drunk. There was broken glass all over the floor. And, you know, my daughter came home from high school. And she said, oh, no, not again. And I said, hey, God, I will do anything. Anything not to live like this anymore. God pitied me. And he knew I meant it because he knew how sorry I was and how ashamed I was. And he gave me the gift of grace. And from that day to this day, I've never had to have another drink. So, you know, that night I came when, you know, I told me I'm stopping drinking and I'm going to AA. And he said, I'll support you, but I'm not joining. Because he said, no one's going to tell me how to live. And I said, but I'm not asking you. I said, this is for me. So the next day I went to my first meeting. And, you know, that was, you know, he said, I'm not going with you. And I said, I don't want you. I want to go by myself. So I went alone. And, you know, I stood in front of that church, you know. I had never even been in a Protestant church in all my life. Everything was Catholic in my life, you know. And I walked into this church, and there it was, you know. They were standing around the coffee pot. There was one girl and four guys, and they were talking and laughing. And, you know, and I knew that, you know, this is what the girl, she told me this is what she had done. So I went and sat down, and there's a girl there. So she came and sat with me. She said, hi, my name is Arlene, and I'm an alcoholic. And I said, ye gods, I hope she doesn't want me to say that. But she didn't. She just said, what is your name? And I said, Marie. She said, would you like a cup of coffee? And I said, yes. So she got up and got me a cup of coffee. She brought it back. It was half full. I thought the damn thing was leaking or something. But in those days, they didn't give any, the newcomers a full cup of coffee, you know. They gave them a half a cup, you know. So I sat there, and we talked a little bit. She knew I was pretty nervous, but she was very nice to me. She was about my age, and, you know, she had kids in school, and that was good because she we had something in common, you know. So she said, you have a drinking problem. And I said, I drink too much, too often, at the wrong times, and I hurt myself and the people I love. She says, you're in the right place. So she said, come sit with me because I'm the speaker. So I went and sat with her. And I didn't remember her story, but I remember what she said. She stood up there. She said, my name is Arlene and I'm an alcoholic. And she didn't apologize. She didn't say she was sorry. She didn't say whose fault it was. She just said it. I had never heard talk like that in my life. And her husband got up and he did the same thing, you know. So then that night she gave me her telephone number and she said to me, call me after the kids go to school tomorrow. And she said, we'll work with the program. So the next morning I called. She said, my husband and I were talking about you last night. And I said, she's going to see now how wrong I am, you know. She said, no, we were very proud of you for walking in that meeting alone and sober without by yourself. That took a lot of courage. Boy, that felt good. I wasn't getting compliments in those days. There weren't too many coming my way, you know. And I earned that one, but it was really worthwhile. So she became my first friend in AA. She taught me all the program, how it worked, and what I was doing and everything. I fell in love with it. I got what I wanted all my life. I found it in the program. I loved the program from the very beginning. I knew God wanted me sober, and I knew I wanted me sober, and that was no problem. So we worked from there. But I found so many things wrong with me. Jeez, I had a lot of things to work with. And I wanted to work with them because I knew I had to in order to build a different life. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without her. But that helped me a great deal. And then after, my husband said, you know, he came to the meeting with me a few times. They thought he was out. They said to him one day, which one of you two is the alcoholic? He said, she is. And I said, it's okay. I didn't mind. I let it go, you know. And it was okay. I felt good about me anyways. So he would come in and stay for a while, back off, and they didn't fuss over him. They liked him. He was very likable. And when he saw no one was pushing him, little by little, he got more and more until he really joined the program, you know. When he got sick of drinking, he got sick of it, and it was okay. So after a couple of weeks, he says to me, you've got to tell your family where you're going. The kids don't know what you're doing. They thought I was going to church every night. They knew I was a drinker. They thought I was going to become a holy roller or something, you know. But she said, you got to say something. I said, okay. So that night I said to Lee, I'm going to tell them what I'm doing. He said, but don't tell them about me. And I said, I don't have any, not I'm supposed to. I said, just about myself. As my girl had told me, she said, you can only get yourself sober, and you don't make him drink, and you can't keep him sober, and it's none of your business. And we won't work with that, you know? So I sat my kids down with my mother was there for visiting. And I told her all about the program, what I was trying to do. And they said, I said, and I'm an alcoholic. And she said to me, and you make damn sure you just say, I'm the alcoholic, not we're the alcoholic. That was tough, but I did. And when I said, I'm an alcoholic, they all turned around and looked at the kid. He just looked at the kid and said, mind your own business, you know? So it really wasn't their business. So that was okay. So after that, my son took my mother back to St. Mary's where she lived. And she said to my son, what do you think of your mother now? And he said, oh, gosh, I'm so damn proud of her. Boy, that was another thing that I had learned, that it was worth it. And so I started a brand new life. You know, it was a very small group. There was not too many people. And, you know, we had to work with each other. And, you know, got a phone call, you know, we would have to go pick somebody up because they weren't going to drying up places in those days, you know. And it was good. And, you know, I made friends with AA. And, you know, the steps were very important. And the big book, I got sober with the big book. But the people are so important. And I know all these years, if I hadn't had the people, I wouldn't be here tonight, you know. Little by little, I found out what was wrong. I had such a sick ego. And I knew I needed humility, acceptance, and gratitude were three things I needed badly, real badly, and I've always needed them. And they're part of my prayers in the morning. It took a while before I could forgive myself, but I did eventually, because I had to. And then I finally learned that if somebody told me, you don't know what love is yet. And I said, yes, I do. And they said, no, you don't, until you learn to love yourself. And so, you know, I said, I do love myself. They said, no, you don't. You've got to really forgive yourself because you can't love other people until you learn to love yourself. And so little by little, I found out that I was worth loving. And God and I became good friends. He became my very best friend. And you know, when I first came into the program, I was full of resentment. I was full of some bitterness. And it was all resentments, pointing fingers at other people. And I had to find out that this isn't the way it works. It was me that I had to work with. I didn't like me. As long as I didn't trust me, I couldn't trust you. And as long as I didn't have any faith in me, I couldn't have faith in you. So it had to go all the way back to me again. So then I learned to, little by little, feel good about myself. And, you know, I never stopped meetings. And I think one of the most important things in this program is meetings. And, you know, always remember you need the meetings. Don't get away from the meetings. I remember they were there when you came in and somebody was there for you, you know? Pay your dues. And it's not worth giving it up because that's how we stay together. And, you know, I get drunk, we stay sober. And, you know, I got a lot of different philosophies about myself that I never had before. And I learned to live with me, and my kids, little by little, learned to accept the program. And they weren't crazy about it, but they knew it was working. My little one was the one who was the most excitable about the program. She loved the slogans. She was 8 years old, and she was going to become a counselor, you know. She knew all the answers, you know. And she knew all about it, you know. She still does it today, you know. Still is no counselor, but she tries to do it, you know. But my kids have all grown up in this program. We've learned to, they're all married with their own family, and their families have families. And my son is, you know, he's learned to be one of my best friends, you know. Last week, he calls me once a week on a Monday morning, and he said, I said, call me, and I said, well, it's my anniversary next week. And he said, yeah, so I hear. I said, well, did I ever ask you to forgive me? He said, no, I don't remember hearing those words. And I said, well, I said, you know, you're the person I hurt the most and the person I love the most. And he said, I know that. He said, but I forgive you a long time ago, Mom. He said, I love what you've done. And he said, it's okay. So he said, yeah, I said, you know, I wasn't a bad person getting well. I was a sick person. And he said, yeah, I know that. And, you know, we've got a good relationship today. And, you know, I love AA and love the people in it. And I love people today. It's a good thing to go to bed at night and not think that God is mad at me. so good to be have him on my side, him for my best friend, you know? And, it, you know, I'm 90 years old now. I'm going to be 91 in a couple of weeks, you know? That's pretty old. And it took me a long time to get where I am. I guess I'm a late bloomer. And I had to learn a lot of things. God kept me around for some reason. I'm still growing today, I guess. And, you know, I still have a lot to learn. God has been awfully good to me. And I've gotten graces that I haven't even earned that he was good for me. And I've tried to repay him, and I thank him for it. I get up in the morning, every morning, thank God for the new day, you know? And I never did that when I was drinking. I learned gratitude. I learned acceptance. And I'm very, very lucky to be me and to have you guys for families and to have you all love me and the way you've all been so good to me, and I love you all. Thank you very much.